You have your Bible. I want you to turn with me to Psalm 9. I chose this psalm from a lot of psalms that could have been chosen, having to do with all kinds of the elements of Thanksgiving. It is finally got a little cold outside. I looked on my car and it said it was 34 degrees as we traveled over. I don't know if it got down to freezing, but it's hard for me to get into a lot of Christmas spirit till I see cold and snow. Well, there was 2 ball games on yesterday with some snow, but that didn't help me a bit. So, but there's a lot of Thanksgiving psalms, and this is just one of many that I could have chosen from. I want to read through it first this morning. Psalm number 9. Psalmist said, "I will praise you, Lord, with all of my heart, and I will tell of all of your wonders. And I will be glad, and I will rejoice in you. And I will sing praise to your name, O Most High." And I call this next 4 verses like an interlude. Because here's the alternatives. Here's what's happening to those who aren't doing what he just said. Who aren't praising God. Who don't share his wonders. Who aren't glad and rejoice and aren't singing. Here's what happens. He says, "My enemies turn back." Literally, in the Hebrew, they're turned back. They don't have a choice here. They don't get to decide. They're turned back. They stumble and perish before you. "For they have upheld, for you have upheld my right," which is my right actions, my motives, my thoughts, and my cause. "And you have sat on your throne judging righteously. You have rebuked the nations," those that are evil, "and you have destroyed the wicked ones. You have blotted out their name forever and ever. Endless ruin has overtaken the enemy, and you have uprooted their cities. Even the memory of them has perished." Then he returns to the spirit of thanksgiving and praise, and he says, "The Lord reigns forever, and he has established his throne for judgment. And he will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the peoples with justice. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name, Lord, will trust in you. For you, God, you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." And he says in the beginning of verse 11, "Sing praises unto the Lord." Sing praises. That's what we've been doing. Now, just because the music is ended doesn't mean we stop singing the praises unto Him. Now, in our lives, we're going to all face a lot of injustices, some difficult times. You might be falsely accused of something. You may be misunderstood. You might not be appreciated in your workplace, in your family, in your community. You might feel like you've been taken advantage of. You might even think that your value that you're adding is not being rewarded adequately. It may be in the workplace or in the club. You might think that your ideas are ignored. People just aren't concerned about you. And you feel that in your life. But God tells us that that's okay. That we're still to be people who know how to give thanks and praise His name. So I'm going to show you a couple of things on the screen. For example, what Thanksgiving includes, right from this scripture. First of all, it includes thankfulness and praise. He says, "I'm going to praise you." Now, he talks about the enemies, and I'm sure that he was influenced by the enemies. They impacted his life or his family or his country or his world. But he says, "I'm going to be thankful and I'm going to praise. I praise you, God." Then he does it with what I call a heartfelt, sincere spirit. He says, "With all my heart, I'm going to praise you. I'm not going to be deterred by these things that happen, the difficulties that come my way." Then he proclaims the truth, proclamation of truth. He says, "I'm going to tell of your wonders. I may be having difficult times, but I know you're not, and I know you're great. And you have done wonderful things for me, and especially if we have come to know Him personally through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to proclaim those wonders." And then fourthly, I have confidence that God's in control. He talks about all these things, upholding the right, the cause, and the just, and all those things. That's what it includes. Now, that's where this intermission, this interlude takes place. I call it the alternatives. The enemies are defeated. They're turned back. The character is upheld because what's right and the cause is upheld. Judgment from God is righteous. National policy, which is what we call the politically correct stuff today, is defeated. Justice prevails. And in the end, God wins. That's what Thanksgiving includes, the recognition that God is in control. What bothers me is how we're not allowed to teach our children anymore the things that really happened as this nation was formed. There is absolutely no mention of the pilgrims coming to America, having that horrible winter where many of them died, meeting the native Indians, learning from them how to grow corn, and then to store it properly, and coming to that fall and having a Thanksgiving dinner where they invited their guests. There is no mention of it at all. They actually want you to believe that the Thanksgiving that we celebrate in America is just like everybody else's. It's not. They want you to believe that it's founded on some god. It's not. It's founded on the God. It's founded on things that happened in America. Other nations have followed us in having and celebrating a Thanksgiving day of their own. And many of them don't even do it on the same day we do it. It bothers me that we are not allowed to teach the truth. But God is still in control. God wins. We can be angry and not sin. So what does proclamation include as we proclaim Him? The Scripture says that God's throne is the place of judgment. Now we need to recognize that there will be a day of judgment that comes in our lives. Cliff Barrows and George Beverly Shea and our parents and yours and theirs that have gone on before us, we'll be there at the great white throne judgment, but they won't be judged in that manner. We won't be judged in that manner because of our faith in Jesus Christ, because of the blood of Christ that was spilled on the cross, because He died and was buried and arose again. We will, because we've accepted and believed in Him, there is no other way to go to heaven. We won't be judged in that way, but there will be a throne judgment. There will be in that throne judgment, judgment that is righteous. It'll be righteous. It won't be flamboyant. It won't be angry. It'll be righteous. And everybody know it. God's righteousness will be deserving. If we go to heaven, or if we die on this earth and we go to the throne judgment and we haven't dealt with our Lord properly, we will deserve His punishment. He has made Himself known to us. He has made His path clear. God's justice is for everyone, especially those who are oppressed. And finally, God's meeting our needs causes everyone to give thanks. We have no excuse if we don't give thanks. Now, is the Neiman Marcus department store, is that still in existence? It is, okay? I've never been there, probably don't have enough money to even get in the door. But I know that it's been in existence for a long, long time. Years ago, Stanley Marcus, who evidently was running the show at that time, received this letter. "Dear Mr. Marcus, I've been receiving beautiful and expensive brochures from you on regular intervals. It occurs to me that you might divert a little of your fortune you must be spending for this advertising material to raise the salaries of your more faithful employees. For instance, there's this unassuming, plainly dressed little man on the second floor who always treats me with extreme courtesy when I visit your store and generally persuades me to buy something I don't really want to buy. Why don't you pay him a little bit more? He looks as though he could use it. Yours truly," and she signs her name, And lo and behold, a couple of weeks later, she receives this letter in response. Dear Madam, your letter impressed us so deeply that we called an emergency director's meeting that day. And thanks solely to your own solicitude, we voted my father an extra $20 a week raise. Gratitude. I don't know if that story is true or not, but it strikes home at how we may not be so grateful. Story is that a man had a butcher shop down on a main thoroughfare in a big city, and he was back behind the counter, and the doorbell rang, you know, a little ding-ling, and he saw the door open, and he didn't see anybody, and he looked down, and there's a dog with a purse in his mouth. Dog puts the purse down and goes, "Hoof!" He goes, "Well, what can I do for you, boy?" And the dog goes, "Hoof!" He says, "Oh, you want some meat? Hoof! You want liver? Brr. You want some hot dog? Brr. Oh, you want the good stuff. You want a steak? Brr. Well, do you want 1 pound? Brr. Do you want two? Brr. Three? Brr. So the man says, "I'm going to play along with this. I'm going to see where this takes me." So he takes out three nice 1 pound steaks and wraps them up and tapes them off. And he says, "Now, how are you going to pay for this?" Dog reaches down, gets the pocketbook, holds it up with his teeth. He says, "Oh." He lays the steak over here. He reaches down and opens up, and the pocketbook's got a $20 bill in it, more than enough to pay for the steak. So he says, "Oh, well, you got money." So he takes the $20 bill out. He puts the steak in the pocketbook and hands it back to the dog, and the dog goes, "Arr." He says, "Oh, you won't change." So he gives him the change, and the dog goes, "Woof." Grabs the pocketbook, runs out the door. Man says, "I got to follow this dog. This is the wildest thing I've ever seen." So he takes off his butcher's apron and goes out the door, and he's following the dog down the street. He turns around the corner. He looks around. He follows the dog down to the apartment store. He watches the dog, gets the door open, walks in. He follows him. He goes up three flights of steps. He's looking around the corner. The dog walks up to a door and starts scratching. The minute the door opens, the man in the door starts screaming at the dog, calling him all kind of worthless names, and about to kick him, and the butcher goes down and says, "Stop it! This is the most intelligent dog I've ever seen." He says, "Intelligent? This is the third time this week he's left his key." Now that's a long, bad joke, isn't it? But it points out something about thankfulness that I couldn't pass up. How many times has someone gone out of their way to do something very unusual for us, very special that we weren't even aware of, and they finished doing what they're doing for us, and they didn't do it like we would have done it? And what are the first words out of our mouth? Do you remember Bob Foy? Bob Foy with the Lay Renewal? Remember, he told us the story, so I'm not telling anything out of school. He said his son wanted to do something special for Bob when he was younger, and so the son got in there and painted their bathroom. Now, if you're like me, I will paint any room in your house but the bathroom. I hate to have to deal with toilets and mirrors, and I just hate it. But he got in there and he painted the walls and he painted the trim and he got it all done. And he waited for his dad to come home, and his dad comes in and he says, "Dad, I got to show you something." He said, "Well, son, I'm busy." He said, "But I got to show you something." "Well, son, I've got work to do." "Son, Dad, I wanted you to see it." And he takes him finally, gets him into the bathroom, and he opens the door, and the son goes, "Ta-da!" And Bob said, this is what he said. He said, "I walked into the door and I walked into the room, and I saw a drip. I saw where something." And I said, "Well, son, what about this right here? And you didn't finish this right here. And you missed this spot over here." You know what he did to his son, don't you? He body slammed him spiritually, emotionally. Thanksgiving. We need to reflect on what we're doing and how we're doing it in our lives. If we want to have a thankless heart, I'm going to give it to you right now. Put it up there. Griping. Gripe about anything and everything that happens. Self-righteousness. Tell others how much you deserve it. Ingratitude. Forget to say thank you. Selfishness. Expect to get anything and everything for yourself and nobody else. Hard-heartedness. Never see anything good in other people. Complaining. Complain all the time. Blaming. Blame others. When you make a mistake, it's somebody else's fault. Self-centeredness. Take credit for whatever's happening, whether you did it or not. Blindness. Focusing on the things of this world. And negativism. Being negative about everything that comes down the pike. Oh, take that off. Take it off the screen. Put up this scripture. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever. This Thanksgiving season, this Thanksgiving day, in fact, from this moment on, remember this scripture. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever. 1 Chronicles 16:34. I want you to put it to memory. I want you to write it down. I want you to begin to, I've added it to my cards. People in the prayer group know what I'm talking about. I've added it to my card. I'm going to keep this so that whenever I'm tempted, whenever that thing wells up within me, take a breath and quote this scripture. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Thank you, Lord, even for the difficulties, even for the hard times. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. I was a child. But he said, but when I grew up, I put away these childish things. Now, I chose one scripture next that's in the New Testament over and over and over again, and there's a whole bunch of it in Proverbs. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness, get rid of rage and anger, get rid of brawling and slander, along with every other form of malice. Remember the story when, there's a lot of these, but Jesus was preaching and teaching one day, and there were 10 leopards. And these lepers were outcast. Unclean, they would have to call out wherever they walked, so that people would know they were slipping up on them. The other day I heard that somebody has sued the company that is doing electric cars because they don't make any sound. And they can slip up on you and they can run over a blind person. The other day we were in the parking lot at Big Lots, and a car pulled out and went up. I said, that's an electric car. And Betsy says, how do you know? I said, you didn't hear it. The motor didn't kick into it, got up the hill. You know, we giving thanks for things like this. You know, the blind men were going around going, unclean, unclean, so everybody knew they were there. And Jesus healed every one of them. And the scripture says only one came back to give thanks. Where were those nine? Where did they go? Are we the nine? Do we need to be more careful? Billy Graham said this. He said, ingratitude is a sin. Just as surely as lying or stealing or immorality is a sin, ingratitude is a sin, and all sin is condemned in the Bible. Romans 1:21 says, although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. That's ingratitude, and that verse is addressed toward those who are ungrateful about things that God has done, because God's done so much for us. Billy Graham also said this. He said, an ungrateful heart is a heart that is cold toward God. It's indifferent toward His mercy and love. It is a heart that has forgotten how dependent we are on God for everything. This Thanksgiving, starting now and right on, let's count our blessings. Let's thank Him for what we've got. Let's be grateful. We may not be able to get together. We may not be able to see everybody. We may not be able to do everything we want to do. We may not get all the gifts we want at Christmas, but be thankful. Let me me tell you, I don't think this is racist. I don't think this is homophobic. I don't think this is anything else. I'm glad I was born in America. And I am grateful that people want to come here. Just come here legally and be a part of us. Because I don't think that's wrong. I don't think I'm being biased, except that I don't want us to all have to go to some of those places we've seen. Some of these folks live in extreme poverty, and I understand that. I am thankful. I wake up sometimes and I wonder, why me, Lord? Why have I been so blessed? Why weren't I born in the deepest, darkest jungle of South America or Africa? Why wasn't I born in Iran or Iraq? I don't know, God, but you have blessed me. We need to give that kind of thanks to our Lord. Now, here are some areas in our lives, and I hope you'll write these down and you'll take them home. And when you sit at the Thanksgiving table, maybe reflect for a moment on them. Areas in our lives to give thanks. Our material blessings. Count our many blessings. Name them one by one. See what God has done. Those material blessings, let me tell you, we are so blessed. You know, it was interesting. There are two or three, four little decisions we're pondering in our lives. And Betsy said yesterday when we were talking about one of them, she said, well, I've prayed about that. And I said, that's interesting, because I did too. We just didn't do it together. You know, pray. The material things. I got enough stuff. I don't need more stuff. But I really don't. So if I get more stuff, why am I getting it? That's a good question. So give thanks for the material things. Give thanks for the people in your life, the good and the bad. You know, we talk about somebody going to the dark side. Every now and then you have family members that go to the dark side. Pray for them. Lift them up in prayer. Never forget what God can do in a person's life. I know that they tell us that you can't rehabilitate a prisoner, but I think God can change their heart. He can transform us into the renewing of our mind. He can make us a new creation, as He said in His own scriptures. So we need to thank God for the people in our lives. Betsy asked me a question. Did y'all do the question in Sunday school about the most influential person in your life? We were riding in the car, and she said, who is the most influential? She said, this is my Sunday school class, and this is the question we're going to ask in Sunday school class. She said, who's the most influential person in your life? And she thought that I was going to say, my dad. I said, after Jesus Christ, she was. Give thanks for that person in your life. She is, not was, she is, still is. Then dad comes, because he had it first. Who are the people in your life that's made a difference? During Veterans Day week, I got a phone call, and you know Jimmy Thomas. Jimmy Thomas, just out of the clear blue, calls me up and he says, he calls me Preacher Ken. Preacher Ken, it's Jimmy Thomas. I said, you're talking just like your daddy, real fast. He said, yeah, I am. I just wanted to thank you for your service to our country. I said, Jimmy, how'd you know that? He said, well, you told me one time. Just out of class. He said, I'm calling up all the veterans I know. Everybody who's ever served in the armed forces. I'm calling them up one by one. And I'm just saying, thank you for your service to our country. He never served in that capacity, but his dad did. People in our lives. Thirdly, for God's presence in the midst of the good and the bad. He says, I will never leave you. Behold, I will be with you unto the ends of the earth. Our God reigns, and He rains down on us His glory, His Holy Spirit. He blesses us. Don't forget how good our God is. In fact, He should be first in our list of things to give thanks for. Number four, our salvation. I do pray that everybody in this room has come to the point where you know that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, and that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 6:23, and that in that while we were yet sinners, and we all are, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. And John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He loved it, loved us, loved us in it. He created us in His image, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16 and 17 goes on to say He didn't come to condemn it. He came to fulfill it. Are you thankful for that salvation? I am. I am so thankful for that salvation. I want others to know Him. I want you to know Him. And we need to let others know about Him. It's not about worship style. It's not about when we meet. It's not about the clothes we wear. It's about Jesus Christ and His salvation, forgiving us of our sin. And finally, I want us to be thankful for that Holy Spirit, the power of God's Holy Spirit in our life. And this is what I want you to pray. I want you to pray, Lord, let Your power fill me, consume me, move me, change me, make me into Your glory and Your purpose and Your image for You, Lord. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid to ask for that. I won't call any names, but there was two people in the choir, and they were next to dancing in that song that the choir sang. Well, there was a couple more, but there were two that were really dancing. We don't dance in Baptist church. Do what? It was interpretive movement. That's what it was. Yes. No, there was a lot of smiles. There was a head bobbing, but there were two dancers. Give thanks. Give thanks. Don't be afraid of letting the Holy Spirit of God bless you. Now, how can we show it? How can we show that thankfulness in our lives? I want you to begin to see with your heart. Not your mind, not your intellect, not your thought pattern. Start seeing people with your heart. Get over the political correctness. Get over shyness and see that person with your heart. Now, the reason I say that is if your heart is filled with the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're going to see them right. Change the way you talk about life. You've heard me say this before. Do you get up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Lord," or "Good God, it's morning"? Change your attitude. Change the way you talk. "Good morning, Lord. I'm grateful. I'm looking forward to snow. I hope we get some, but if we don't, and it's 90 degrees on Christmas Day, I love you, Lord." Okay, this is a great day. Find a gratitude partner. Now, right now, there's three of preachers. We're meeting on Wednesday mornings down at Martha's on Main, and we are partners. We're partners. And we don't call ourselves gratitude partners. We call ourselves a band of brothers. But it's like we're right to the point that we don't want to miss them anymore. We want to get together. We eat, we talk, we share, and we pray, and we encourage one another. And we pray for things in our lives that are going on in our lives. That's what a gratitude partner is. You need one. You need somebody you can love and cherish and share with. And know that it's trusted that they're not going to share it with anybody else. Fourthly, we need to remember and we need to reflect. That's what we do during Thanksgiving, especially in Thanksgiving. Remember and reflect on the blessings that we do have. Write it down and read it often. I've started a journal. My entire life, I've tried to start journals. I've started a lot of journals. In fact, I got a shelf half full of blank journals. You know, people give them to me. I go buy them. Oh, this is a nice. But I'm sticking with this one. I'm writing it down. And one day I'm saying, "Lord, this is my list of problems." The next day I'm saying, "Lord, these are praises in my life." Write it down and read it. And see what God begins to do in your life as He changes. Not only that, write a thank you letter to God. I read a bunch of those from people, old and new. That's pretty interesting. Write a thank you letter, and then write one to yourself. Forgive yourself. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Your neighbor's not perfect. But forgive yourself first. Now, here's what I'm in my journal. Hope you don't find it. Don't want you to read it if you do. In my journal, I several times I say, "Lord, I didn't make it past 9 o'clock. What am I going to do? How do I change this? Lord, I need You to help me." You know, I got critical or, you know, I thought something, or you had road rage, you know, you something. You write it down, and then ask God's help. And then as you reread it later, you'll see how God begins to work. You write that letter to yourself. And accept, as I said, you're not perfect, and neither is anyone. Pray without ceasing, and then here's a good one. Give it forward. Now, there's people here that want to say that's them. They've discovered that. I don't know where it started, but just do it. And I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know when it's going to come up. I don't know how it's going to happen. But just be ready to give it forward. Whatever that may mean, it will bless someone else's life. It'll be a witness to those who see it. And you will know you did something good for God. It's Thanksgiving. We're talking about turkey and sweet potatoes and congealed salad and deviled eggs and mouth watering yet, and we're talking about all that stuff. Have you given thanks already for it? Have you given thanks for the people in your life, your God, this church, your church? Have you given thanks? That's what this is all about, giving thanks. Let's pray. Father, we don't thank you enough. Scripture says you inhabit our praise. Our praise is our thanksgiving. And the word inhabit means that you it just flows within you and you well up with pride over it. So we give thanks. We praise your holy name. Lord, I do pray that the Holy Spirit just falls on us and changes us, makes us new in the creation that you always intended us to be. And through that, Lord, we will give even more thanks unto you. And so I thank you for the blessings. Blessings we don't deserve. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Where he leads me, I will follow, I will go. That's our hymn of commitment. Now, today, if you just want to come to the altar and give thanks for a moment to the Lord, that's a symbol. It doesn't make you more holy if you don't come to the altar. It's just a public witness symbol. If you want to come, I'm going to step to the side today and let people come for a moment and just pray while we sing and give thanks. We've done a lot of praying in this building here in the last couple months, two 24-hour prayer vigils, a lot of praying on Sunday night in the prayer class and other times. That should never cease. Jesus said, this is a house of prayer. Let's pray. Let's stand and let's sing. Hope to see you tonight. Fill the tables up. We're going to have a response sheet for everybody. We're going to give a gospel presentation. We're going to have some guests with us tonight who may need to know Christ, may need a church home. We're going to be inviting them to receive Christ as their Savior. We're going to be inviting them to make this their church home. I need you there, praying, being a friend to these new people. Kind of mix it around the table so that we're not just always with the same eight people. And invite these guests in and their families. A lot of the Mark Club children's parents will be with us. I want you to show them the love of Jesus Christ and give thanks for their being with us. We're going to have a great meal also. I'm looking forward to that. So look forward to that. Hope that you will be a part of that. And have a great Thanksgiving. Be safe when you travel. Be with your family and hug them a second time and a third time. And just love them. If you can't be with them, call them. If you can't call them, pray for them. Let's pray. God, as we dismiss, we give thanks to you for everything. We're blessed. May we give it back in ways that we don't even know yet and make a difference in Jesus' name.